Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 209 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again. Today on the show, we've got the government and anti-gun groups. They are at it again, spreading disinformation and then, of course, denying that they're doing it while calling other people liars for pointing it out. Who could have seen this coming? As well, the Liberals get their majority, but it's really fragile and it doesn't give them anywhere to hide. So more on that. The RCMP say, don't hand in your guns, at least not yet. And a really heartwarming story that comes to us via a donation letter. Anyway, all that and more, the CCFR Radio Podcast starts right now. Thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. All right, we are back. Now, Tracy and I have a bunch of important things to share with you, so I'm not going to do anything here in the monologue, which is this what I call this section. I'm going to address a small list of things in the outro. So anyway, make sure that you stay tuned for that. There's some important things in there as well, but we're going to get started with Tracy Wilson right now. All right, we are back, and via the internet, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
We've gone national with that. I actually heard it in Halifax just last weekend.
You're hearing it here, there, and everywhere? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, everywhere, man.
Yeah, well, I'm actually allowed to yell that because my next-door neighbor here in the office building, who happens to be my bookkeeper, is on vacation. So,
oh, perfect.
Now so I can just rant and rave and be a total lunatic in here.
That's great news.
Yeah, great news. I can be a lunatic and nobody's going to hear me.
Congratulations.
Okay. So, you know what? It's funny because I'm looking at the list. We're going to get going. And I forgot we left something off, which was a report from your rally in Halifax. So we'll stick that in there. Why don't we do that right now? Why don't we start with that?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, the Eastern hospitality never disappoints. We had probably about 200 people come out to the rally, which is great. I mean, I would have liked more, but, you know, you have to think about where you are and what the situation is. But yeah, about 200 people strong came out. It was fantastic. We had wonderful support from SCI Nova Scotia. They sent a bunch of supporters. And yeah, we made a bunch of noise, raised some heck, and rallied against the gun bans. So yeah, really grateful for everybody who came out. It was fantastic.
Awesome possum. And of course, you had a bunch of MPs out there, which is great.
Yep. Yep. We sure did. We had Shadow Minister for Hunting, Angling and Conservation, Blaine Culkins, was there all the way from Alberta. So yeah, we're making waves everywhere we go.
Awesome. All right. Now back to our proper list. So we've got a lot of things to talk about in this episode, and we are going to start with polycessive. Yeah. They seem to really enjoy spreading misinformation.
No.
I don't know that as a fact, but it just seems like it because they have no problem just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think the part that's distressing, and you know what? I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, is when they do that and then try to make sure that they cover themselves by accusing everyone else of spreading misinformation or lying. So
yeah, they do that quite often.
They do it often. And, people have been calling them out on it. It doesn't even make a difference. And,
no.
You know, not to dive down the rabbit hole right away, but it's just, man, nothing is going to get fixed in this country, which is in absolute freefall decline, if you're paying any attention at all, until people decide that lying is wrong. We need to make lying wrong again. and then stopping doing it, even if the facts are don't support, you know, your side of a political issue. You actually have to take the loss when the loss is yours. But anyway, they'll do almost anything to avoid that. So they have been pushing the same disinformation as the government has on a number of different fronts, on a number of different topics as it applies to firearm legislation, regulation, or the buyback slash confiscation program. And then we got ended up with a really great articulate response from a member of our community. Why don't you tell us all about that, Ms. Wilson?
Okay, well, I'm going to start with the BBC article. We did a bunch of media right after the close of the gun grab, like the buyback portion. And, you know, I'm using quotes for that. And there was, so of course, they include a quote from me, and then they went to Polly Sassouvien for a quote from them. And there was, they were talking about the fact that, you know, there's supposed to be some money flowing out of this buyback program. And the literal quote from Polly says, "The Liberal government's willingness to compensate current owners without banning new purchases of all rifle models is a nightmare scenario." So that was in the story. And then Polly quote tweeted that. So they formulated a tweet or an X or whatever you want to call it, and literally put that without making any corrections to it. And so it wasn't very long before people caught on and they're like, wait a minute, what do you mean all rifle models? And as soon as we bring attention to it, not only did they call me a fool for using their literal words, they said that people should have been able to interpret that that was just paraphrasing and they meant all SKSs, not all rifles. So, you know, you're all a bunch of idiots for taking their words literally and not figuring out how to interpret what they really meant. And I was just reading this going, what? They're, first of all, they're worried that gun owners will take any buyback money that they may or may not get and just go buy a replacement firearm, which is the government's intended purpose. Yeah. That was the point of it.
So they said all
that's literally what they tell you to do.
Yep.
And then when they are quoted saying something literal and I use it, they're yelling at me, calling me a fool for using their literal words. And I'm like, man, like, it's just insane. And then just secondly, also, they had included a letter. It's kind of their excuse me, response to the closure of the buyback program. And of course, they repeat all the same government lies, you know, that the program closed with more than 67,000 firearms being declared by close to 38,000 firearms owners across Canada. And they say this represents about half of the estimated 136,000 affected firearms. That's not true. That's not how many firearms are affected. That was how many firearms they budgeted to pay for. Two very, very different things, as we know. So yeah, just super funny. And then, of course, Adriel, our friend from that hunting gear guy, he's got a great story. I've shared it on my social media, so you can find it there. Or just go to hunting thathuntinggearguy.com. And he took the 8 big lies of the buyback and broke them down. And there, he just did a great job. These are very easy, common lies that they say, and the very simple way to break down what the truth is. So shout out to Adriel for just doing an awesome job.
He did a great job. So interestingly enough, I have this this message that Polly Sassouvien put out for them, you know, spreading disinformation. But it's funny. They say, due to the gun hashtag gun lobbies and gun trolls' inability to understand it wasn't them stepping on their own feet. It was our ability to understand what they were thinking when they said it. Right.
Right.
So right away, try to come out with some slurs, say that we're too stupid to understand the concept of implied meaning, or more likely, it's bad faith insistence on overtly literal misreading that totally ignores context in order to mislead and fearmonger regular gun owners. Like, can you imagine
them twisting themselves into knots like that?
And the only, you know, the one thing I didn't want to bring up about this is anytime that we are like, you people are lunatics, you lie constantly, the government and the mainstream media, well, first they fall down, right? They can go on offense all day long, but the minute that you push back against them, they fall down, landing on the fainting couch. going, oh my God, look at these people harassing victims. Like, it's such sick behavior that it's hard for me to come up with the vocabulary to describe it, right? But
yeah,
they can throw insults and all this stuff all day long. Everyone's, you know, it's like the, you know, the blind, you know, the cane's like, oh, you know, I don't see anything. And then, you know, if we push back at all, it's like, it's an actual national news story, right? So, anyway, this is our battle space. But yeah, they are just such a toxic group of people. It's indescribable. And, you know, and what's even more hilarious is it was a day or two later after they're like, because they're very sensitive. They're very sensitive about us thinking that they want all guns banned, right? It's like, oh, no. Just the assault weapons. And it's like, okay, well, you already lied. But anyway, I think it was only a couple of days after they're like, I don't even know how to describe it, like tying themselves into knots to get out of exactly what they said while telling everyone that's basically a big lie, even though they reposted it, as you said, themselves.
Yes.
They forget all about that because maybe it's them that just don't have the intellectual capacity to you know, be good faith partners in this national conversation. Mm-hmm. Only a couple of days later, they repost this post that says the manufacturers are staying one step ahead of the gun grab with all sorts of cool new offerings. And this is a pump action. In other words, a manually operated firearm. It's a shotgun and it comes with a drum, or you can buy a drum magazine for it, because the only magazine limits in Canada apply to semi-automatic center fire rifles and shotguns. Right. So there's some other intricacies there. But anyway, if you have a manually operated firearm and you have a magazine that was designed only for that firearm, it's unlimited. And that makes sense because it's a manually operated firearm. So away, they're losing their minds about magazine capacity limits, because they, after 36 years, still don't possess the capacity to distinguish between a pump action shotgun and an AR-15.
Right.
So,
well, because they look at what it looks like, right? If it looks scary and tactical, then it must be a weapon of war.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah. It's this group is highly moronic. And if anyone wants to challenge me, like, okay, well, why would they be moronic? Be like, okay, how much time do you have? Cause it probably would take 2 days for me to point to all the things that they should know after all this time, but don't seem to know, or they're completely lying. Now, yeah. I want to bring up one other thing. We talked about Adriel's article, and it is really, really great. He did a really good job on it for two reasons. Number one, it was chock full of facts and links, right? Mm-hmm. And two, it was concise, because that's difficult to do when you're trying to unravel the lies of the federal government and polysensitive. Yeah, because of the sheer scale, the sheer magnitude, the sheer quantity of that kind of information that they spread. But one thing I think is most important to understand, the most important of all, which is if you are going to launch a program and you are going to spend billions upon billions of dollars, forget the $1 billion that they're spending, they're saying, right? They were actually going to do it. It would be $5, $6, $7, $10 billion. If you're going to launch that project, what is the first piece of information you would need? The first piece of information that any moron that would launch a project like this would need would be how many firearms are truly affected by these regulatory changes. And then the next question would be like, does anyone have that information? And as you and I know, Global Affairs Canada has that information because they've got the make, model, serial number of every firearm that was imported into Canada since 2002. And then you could take that number and times it by, you know, 1.5, right? Because there was a lot of years that firearms were imported before then too. And just since 2002, I did my own little project, talked to a few people that should know something, did some very simple math, which I revealed on our television show and on a previous podcast, that it should be well over 2 million.
Yes.
So either the government didn't do the most basic work before launching a billion, multi-billion dollar project that would alienate hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people and put police in an untenable position, or they know all about it. They have that number and they are flat out lying at such a such a huge level that it's, again, hard to describe it. Like that's where this, that's probably the most important thing to know. And the mainstream media, if you look at the work that Adriel did as a, he did it for himself as a volunteer, basically, right? The mainstream media couldn't match what Adriel did for the, for his website, thehuntinggearguy.com, I think is what it is.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting. I would like to think, I would go with door number two, that they do have that information and they are hiding it. And every interview I did, you know, all the big ones, CTV, CBC, Global, and then a bunch of other outfits as well. And I brought that up and I said, not a single person has dug into this with Global Affairs to find out the true number of firearms affected. And I'm planting that with them to get them to go and do it. And not, nobody picked it up, right? So, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, but why
would
they?
It's interesting to watch Polly go with that too. Because they don't care. They know that the government's not going to pick up the majority of guns that were involved in this. And that people will then be exposed to criminality. They're perfically fine with that.
This and this leads right to another, we're going to jump ahead a little bit, leads right to another story. The RCMP came out and said, hey, don't hand in any of your guns.
Yeah. Yeah, this is crazy. This was a warning out of BC RCMP. And they said in a statement on Sunday that several individuals have recently attended the Upper Fraser Valley detachments, hoping to relinquish their firearms in person. Now, of course, I don't want any gun owners to have to turn in their guns, but you just, I could just picture it, play that through in your mind, what that looks like. And you've got, you know, old Jim Wilson up on the mountain and he's got a couple of guns that were caught up in this. Cause of course there's like regular bolt action hunting rifles caught up in this. It's not all AR-15 type stuff. Right. And he finds out his guns are banned and he's done his declaration. The program is so confusing. The lack of information, the lack of stuff coming out of the government to tell you like, okay, now what? You know, he's probably sitting there. They've said on TV, the minister said it in press conferences that the BC will be doing some kind of mobile units or, you know, whatever that the RCMP is involved. So he rolls into town in his truck with his guns that are caught up in this, rolls into the detachment, you know, parks his truck, unloads his vehicle, walks in the, that's how people get shot. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, but you have to think of it from the point of the RCMP. Imagine you're looking out the window of your detachment, you know, in a remote area or whatever, and you see a guy getting out of his truck, grabbing guns and walking towards the front door. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. And the entire fault for that is going to rest on the shoulders of the public safety minister. The fact that he's not talking about this is absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. And so I'm begging people, please, please do not go to your local police station with your guns unless there's been a prearranged appointment or whatever. Just wait for instructions if you must go along with this. But somebody's going to get hurt without doubt.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even in the stories that were circulating around, I think there was a couple of variations of the story, but even with what the media has put out, the RCMP apparently had said that it's actually a criminal offense to come and turn in your guns right
it
now.
Is.
And I didn't think that through yet because I've been busy, but maybe that has to do with authorizations to transport, depending on the firearm itself, all the rest of that. So it's just amazing. What a mess this is.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, I'm actually really worried about this. So, you know, like this is something that the public safety minister, as soon as the story came out, he should be all out doing a press conference. Yeah. You know, please do not do this. Like for the sake of the RCMP and whatever other law enforcement officers are dealing with people rolling in the parking lot with their guns, but for the sake of citizens too, that are here trying to comply with the government's disaster. And he's not saying a word. Somebody's going to get hurt. And this is like, I am terrified of this. So yeah, spread the word. Do not roll into any police station with your firearms unless you have an appointment and it's been arranged. Just wait for instruction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a disaster.
Yeah.
On
or
every
withdraw.
Front, this whole program.
Be safe and withdraw.
Right from the promise back in 2020 from Trudeau and his gaggle of lunatics. All the way through to this morning, like just a total train wreck of buffoonery. But anyway,
yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the floor crossers and by-elections, because a lot of people, I think, are losing their minds over this this thing right now.
Yeah. I mean, it is a tough time, right? So, yeah, the time at the time we're recording this, it's the morning after the three by-elections in Ontario and Quebec. And of course, the Liberals swept all three. Now, that's not what got them their majority. They do have a majority government by two right now. What got them their majority was the five floor crossers. So we already knew about Michael Ma, Matt Genereux, Chris D'Entremont. We're not going to beat a dead horse. We talked about those guys already. But Conservative MP Marilyn Gladue crossed over to the Liberals, which I think was shocking for everybody. Like, she'd almost be more suited to the PPC than the CPC. So I was surprised to see that. And then, of course, the NDP, Lori Idlut, crossed over as well. So that brought Carney within reaching distance, definitely, for his majority. And then the three by-elections were swept. Scarborough Southwest, which is Bill Blair's old riding, University of Rosedale, which belonged to Freeland, and then Terrebonne, which was rejected by the Supreme Court. It was like a one vote difference in the last federal general election. So basically, it was just a redo there. So they already had those first two. There was no real gain there. The gain was Terrebonne, which was a toss up. But basically, the end result of all this is he's got 174 seats, which is a majority. You need 172. But it is weak. It is fragile. It's cobbled together. And to be perfectly honest, there's no real power difference here. In fact, I would actually say it was weaker than what we had the last few years with Trudeau and Jagmeet Singh and their supply and confidence agreement. The only thing is he doesn't need a speaker. The speaker doesn't have to tie break a vote, right? They've got that extra vote. But keep in mind, you cannot vote even virtually in the House of Commons unless you're in the country. So this, it's such a thin majority, excuse me, that he doesn't have room to have two people away or sick or out of the country on assignment, or, you know, sometimes they just don't vote. If they don't want that on their record, instead of voting against their own government, they'll skip the vote. We've seen it lots of times, right? So he doesn't have any room for that. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, the sky is falling. And honestly, I don't think it makes that big of a difference. They were kind of doing what they wanted before. And then, like the gun grab, what they couldn't do legislatively, they used an OIC. So I don't see a big difference. Now, one thing that might happen is there may be like a very brief one-day prorogation. And the reason why he may do that, even though he said he wouldn't, he may have to, because it'll reset the committees. Right now, in a minority government, which is what we had, the opposition gets to chair the committees. But now that he's got a majority, razor thin, it doesn't matter. It's a majority. So he can take back control of those chairs. So it's not an ideal position, but the sky is not falling. It's not a lot different than we were before, which is still not a great place, but I mean, look, this is where we've been for 11 years. So onward and forward.
Well, and like, I agree with you. Everybody's like, he's got his majority. It's like the Liberals have had a majority since 2015. They had an actual majority for 4 years, and then they had a coalition majority ever since. They can always grab a handful of votes from the Bloc or a handful of votes from the what's left of the bones of the NDP.
Right.
the disintegrating bones of the NDP. There was enough people there for them to get anything through. They may have had to pay for it in one way or another, but they could always play the NDP off against the Bloc. But I think one of the things that people have to keep in mind is that Carney is actually in a pretty precarious position still in some ways, right? He is gotten floor crossers from the CPC for sure, but he's also gotten a floor crosser from the NDP. So the NDP are going to be sour about that. And then the Bloc, they have their own agenda and it's not federal, right? So, you know, it still might be a little difficult for him.
Oh, I absolutely think so. And I mean, yeah, he's, you know, pulled four Conservatives from across the floor. But I think those people have made it very clear what kind of integrity they've got. So I don't think he could trust them, you know, any more than we could. So, yeah, it's, you know, the sky is not falling. It's crappy. But I mean, that's kind of where we've been before. And to be perfectly honest, if he had just called another general election, as unpopular as that may have been since we just had one a year ago, I think the result would have been even way more devastating. So, yeah, it's not great, but it's also not the end of the world. So,
yeah,
we'll see. And the good thing is now with all his failures, I mean, he's been there for a year. They've been in power as a party for 11 years. You know, they've always blamed the conservatives for being obstructionist and this and that and playing games and whatever. Now they have nobody to blame. So we should see all these amazing promises they've made. Let's see it happen. I think it's actually a worse position for the prime minister.
That's entirely possible. But no matter how we look at this whole thing, like the fight has to continue on. So I think sometimes, obviously you and I have to wrestle with this all the time because we look at it every day. And we've sort of beat this to death in the last couple of podcasts. So I don't think we have to spend a ton of time on it. But the way that your emotional response to this situation has absolutely no bearing on the outcome. So you have a choice. You can either be pissed off about it or throw your hands up, you know, throw all your papers off the desk and be like, well, that's it. I'm going to try to get out and move to New Zealand or whatever your plan is, or to the United States or what have you. Or I'm going to completely disengage, which helps the Liberals 100% helps them.
Oh, yeah. They want that.
Or you can just say, yeah, that sucks. I'm going to keep going because things are changing really quickly geopolitically. Again, I'm not going to get into all that stuff. I don't think it's that useful. But number one, you can still do things. And one of those, I actually have a few things I'm just going to run over really quick. Number one, you have to vote, right? So even if you're disconnected, even if you're completely disenfranchised emotionally, whatever, right? Disengaged, just make sure you show up to vote. That's all you really need to do. And you might have to do a little bit of work around election time, grab a few people to take with you. Like that's literally all it takes and all of that is expected from you to, in air quotes, keep fighting. The other thing is if you're a member of a shooting range, obviously, participate in National Range Day. Keep pushing our community forward. Keep growing our community. So open houses or ladies' range days or what have you, right? Any kind of outreach to the public to create more gun owners, more stakeholders, right? Push information around on social media. Have conversations with people. Like none of this stuff is really that difficult if you separate the emotion from it. Like that's the biggest weapon they have is attacking our emotions. And it works. And stay on side with the CPC. You know, like we are, it's funny, right? Because it's like, oh, you guys are just shills for the Conservative Party. It's like, no, I'm pragmatic in that there is only one party in a position to win a federal election or to hold the Liberals at bay at any level. And that's the Conservative Party of Canada. They did really well in the last election, but we didn't get it across the finish line. So what do? You're just like, oh, we were so close, but we didn't. I'm going to give up now. It's like, absolutely, it's not time to give up. It's time to actually redouble your efforts. So anyway, I just want to make sure that we've soldiered through all of this adversity for so long. The time to give up isn't when it gets hard. The time to accelerate is when it gets difficult, right? So we just got to keep on going.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I mean, you got to keep pushing forward because they want you demoralized and they want you fed up and thinking your vote doesn't matter. And that's the point. So if you give them that win, then it's you giving it to them. I'm not allowing it. So
absolutely,
just keep fighting.
And if you remember, I think we talked about this last time, that's the reason why they went after floor crossers and just didn't call an election. They would have won an election.
Yeah.
They went after floor crossers because it's insulting. It's demoralizing. They're playing that long game. They want to demoralize all the conservatives. So everybody's just like, oh my God, we'll never win. You know, it's like, no, we will win. We just got to stay in the game long enough to do it, not just give up and split the vote and just act like idiots. We just got to be like, well, we are determined and we're not giving up. And that's how you win this game. You can't win it any other way. Anyway.
That's right. Okay.
Now what did we have here? All right. There was a really, really cool story. So we got an email from a gentleman named Kurt Helloff, and he wanted to make a donation. So you've got the letter. Why don't you read that letter and let people know what this is all about. It's a cool story.
Yeah. So this came in from our friend Kurt, and he says, I would like to donate $1,000 to the CCFR on behalf of my father, retired RCMP Sergeant William Bill Helofs. My dad passed away last week after suffering with dementia and other health issues. My dad was stationed throughout the province on many high-profile assignments. At one time, he worked in the CLEU division, and he was instrumental in putting evidence against that POS, Clifford Robert Olson. He was a member of the original implementation of the ERT team and traveled several times to Ottawa for specialized training. And during his time in the ERT, he was deployed to the hostage situation at the BC Penn involving Andy Bruce. Throughout his career and dealing with the unimaginable things he must have seen, he always came home to his family and loved and took care of us to the very best of what he could. I was very lucky that he had access to shooting ranges and training, or that I had access to shooting ranges and training that few kids growing up would have. Dad taught me gun safety and responsibility, and through the years, it was instilled in me for many hunting trips and safe shooting fun. I now have a teenage son, that I am passing that knowledge and skills on to. I'm very sorry that these Canadian pastimes are being threatened by our very own government, and hopefully logic will prevail. Hopefully this donation will bring to light what my dad has done with the time that he had here. So I just want to say that his dad lived a really good life of service and sacrifice, but he did always put his family first. So we'll do everything that we can to honor his memory.
Yeah, it's quite a story. So thank you for that, Kurt. And and thank you to Kurt's dad for, as you said, all his service and the effort that he put into his life to do a lot of good things for people he never met. That's
sure did.
That's one of the things. And it's, you know, it's also a good reminder that that even though we're at odds with the government, we're at odds with the bureaucracy, we're at odds with police in many instances, that it's not some, homogeneous group where everyone has the same perspective, right? There's a lot of different people
not
there
even close.
That have different perspectives and are still there to do the right thing, the reason why they got into policing in the first place. Yeah. All right. So thank you, Kurt and your family for the support. Now, we have a rally happening in Cambridge.
Yeah, that's right. So that's the Waterloo Region Rally. And of course, we've been doing these in jurisdictions that have signed deals between their law enforcement or city councils and the Liberal government to help with the gun grab. And Waterloo Region sort of encompasses like Waterloo, Kitchener, and Cambridge. So we're going to gather together on Friday, April 24th from 4 to 7. So it's not an all-day thing. It's a couple hours after work in front of Cambridge City Hall. There's a great spot there. We've filed all the permits. There's a lot that goes into planning these things. And I know some people like to take credit for things that, you know, may not be there, but we've filed all the permits. We are talking with law enforcement. There's a liaison officer that's been in constant communication with me. We've had to provide liability insurance certificates. And then I've got my ground guys like Matt Small and Derek Galland. Derek created like an 11x17 color poster. He's been going all over the place, driving around, taking it to gun shops, taking it to all the ranges, just going everywhere and getting the owners and the clubs to post this stuff up. You know, he drove down there to do a site visit for me. Like, this is like a 6.5 hour drive away for me. It's not like I can jump in my Jeep and go check it out for myself, but I need to know what the space looks like and how many people can I accommodate and what's close by and do we need washrooms? So he's been doing site visits. He's been sending me videos and pictures, scouting out parking. Can we fit buses in there? We're going to need washrooms. He's organizing those. You know, what are we going to do for audio? You can't just, you know, scream out the back of a truck. Like, you need some sort of audio, organizing security. So I've got like 600 signs going down there, 100 Canadian flags, banners, great big speakers. I've been working with all the MPs. This was all at their request, right? And it's just, I can't express how grateful I am to have the on-the-ground support, because this would be a lot more difficult and time-consuming and maybe not as well planned if I can't be there to see what I'm dealing with, right? So anyways, a lot of people ask sometimes, like, what can I help with? Do you need help? Like, this kind of stuff is a perfect example of somebody going over and above. And, you know, he's like, yeah, let me scoot down there and I'll go check it out. I'll send you some videos. It's so valuable. So anyways, big shout out to Derek and the whole crew. We've got a little Waterloo region rally group and I'm so grateful to them all. And yeah, just fantastic. So okay. A lot of work being done by the good people at the
CCFR. Once again, what's the date and where's the location or where can people find information if they want to go down and support?
Yeah, April 24th from 4 to 7 in Cambridge in front of City Hall. You can find all this and more at ccfr.ca/events.
Awesome. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we finished our list. Okay. So I don't know what else to say. It's been a pretty crazy 2 weeks. I don't know what else to say. Other than the same thing I say every stinking episode, which is, I can't believe there's so much going on.
I know. It's just, yeah, it's relentless. It's like drinking from a fire hose every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the update. We'll see you in the next one.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 209 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks everyone for watching and listening. All the things, share the podcast, do all that stuff. We want to grow our community, all those things. All right. As I mentioned, right when we started the episode, I wasn't going to cover anything at the beginning of the episode because Tracy and I had important things to talk about and I was going to do it all now. So I have a couple of things to go over with you before I let you go. I'm going to try to do it as quickly as possible. I don't want this episode to be too long. So first thing is, a ton of people reach out to the CCFR. Unless you work for the CCFR and are, you know, in connection with our switchboard, you have no idea the volume of messages people send. And they send all kinds of stuff. And then, so let me give you an example. People are like, I got my guns taken. You're going to want to hear this. Or I got my guns taken. Please have a lawyer call me back. I filed my PAL renewal 6 months ago. Want to know what the status of my application is. Have Rod call me. I want to know what's going on with the buyback. I want to bounce some ideas off of Rod or Tracy. Tell them to call me back. I could go on. Oh yeah. To ask Rod to call me. I want to know how to legally store a non-restricted firearm. Like the messages that we get are in such volume that it's hard to describe. Number one, and number two, they're absolutely ridiculous. I even have people emailing me directly, and that's okay, but I'm probably not going to have time to help you with getting your guns back or tell you how to store a non-restricted firearm. And then they'll send me another email like, oh, well, I guess I'm never getting a response from you. And I'm like, yeah, you're absolutely not getting a response from me, including a response to this message. And then they keep sending them until I actually, you know, in Outlook, just send them straight to junk mail. The average person, and I don't get mad about it because I think a lot of people they have no concept of how many requests to contact us and to talk to us we get in a week. It's probably 100. And Adam, who runs our second level switchboard, about 50%, and that's an unqualified number, but I see all the messages that are left every day, about 50% of them are people that are just angry and they're looking for counseling. They're looking for someone to say, yeah, it's ridiculous. Maybe tell them a couple of things about the confiscation program they didn't know, like just to shoot the breeze with people. And of course, members have to pay for that. So anyway, just letting you know, if you're contacting me, you're probably not going to get a response because it's just the volume is too high and we have work to do here. And, you know, and it's not because I'm, you know, don't care about people with questions or don't want to talk to people. I just physically can't do it. I can only stay awake so long. Same thing with Wilson. She's traveling all over the country. I do a little bit of that too, but I do the project part of it and she does the traveling and the public relations part of it. And it is endless. You even heard about it in this episode. So anyway, if you want to check the status of your PAL renewal, call the firearms program. If you have your guns taken, call a lawyer or get the legal defense insurance that we have available and call the the number on that or the legal advice that we have available. You can do that as well. So anyway, I just want to mention something because I don't like ignoring people. I usually like giving people an answer. I just feel an obligation to do that, but I just can't do it with, you know, whatever, right? 40, 60 requests per week. It's just, it's, I can't do it. Anyway, just wanted to mention that. All right. Something else I want to mention is I think I alluded to, I was going to put together some interviews or some information on legal alternatives to handing your guns in. I have not got that done yet, but I'm still working on that. Maybe in the next episode. I'm not promising anything because things were supposed to get less busy for me and that's not happening. So I'm still working on that. So anyway, I just want to mention that's something I definitely want to bring you some organized information. I did get some information from someone who was kind enough to do a bunch of research and donate that information. And I still have two lawyers to talk to, which I have not done yet. So I just want to mention that. Okay. The other thing is we get a lot of donations at the CCFR. That's how we can keep operating, especially keep operating at the level that we are operating at. And I can never keep track of that stuff because I don't see the donations when they come in. Like none of that stuff comes to me because I have other things that I have to look after. But I did have our new general manager, Chris Russell, send me this message because he was actually aggregating a lot of these donations. And I'm just reading down this list. And if you've donated to the CCFR as an organization or whatever, and we haven't said it, just let us know. We are more than grateful for every scrap of help that we can get. But you just may have gotten lost in the shuffle because we're all running around like lunatics all the time, trying to keep this all going and move the projects out and rallies and everything else, trade show appearances and travel and politics and whatever, right? But I want to run down this list really quick. So Hamilton Angling and Hunting Association, if you guys remember the funny story, the acronym to their organization, to their gun club is HAHA. And I had received this email and it said, HAHA donation, right? And I was like, oh yeah, you know, who's sending me joke emails? And I was just lucky that I opened it because I'm like, this is, and it's dumb too. It's not even misleading, you know, if it's a scam or something. It was like, oh no, HAHA is an actual club and they sent a donation. So thankfully I opened it, right? But anyway, HAHA. The association made a donation. The handgun section made a separate donation and the rifle section made a separate donation. So thank you guys so much for your help. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. The Ontario Fur Managers Federation, Haliburton County Marksman's Club, SCI West Coast. I got that donation personally from those guys. Parksville Qualicum Fish and Game Association, Club de Tir RDL, Alliston, I think it's a misprint, it says Allison. I think it's Alliston, but I'm not sure. District Sportsman Club, Port Perry Rod and Gun Club, Grand Forks Wildlife Association, Alberta Arms and Cartridge Collectors. I think there's another A in there somewhere. That might be a typo as well. Calgary Fish and Game Association, of course. Decu Gun Club, North Mountain Gun Club, SCI Saskatchewan Rivers Chapter. They've always been really great to us. SCI Nova Scotia, Victoria Fish and Game Protective Association, just like, I think it was last night or the night before. So I just got to tell everyone, thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for your help. We are in a position to continue to do big things and there are big things coming. And the only reason we can do that is because of all you guys. So thank you so much for that. Yeah, I don't know any other way to express how grateful I am for all that help. All right. Okay. Second to last thing, as we mentioned, do not give up. The Liberals got their majority. I'm not going to beat it to death. I've been hammering you guys over the head with optimism for a number of episodes, so I'm not going to do it again, but do not give up. You're playing right into their hands. If you do, stand your ground, keep growing the CPC. If you don't like what the CPC is doing, get involved with the Conservative Party and play a part in changing it or making it better or making them strong. We got to keep fighting these people or they will 100% win. Okay. So anyway, you got the message from me and Tracy before and from me in the previous episode. Just make sure, don't let these people get into your head and make you stop by manipulating you into stopping or splitting your vote or giving up or, you know, trying to drag other people down with you because you can't hack it. Like, just stay strong, man. There's a lot of people that are still standing over here and we are all holding each other up. All right. And then raining guns. So last couple of weeks of the raining guns contest, make sure that you go to ccfr.ca, donate $20 or multiples of $20. You get an entry for every $20 that you donate, free entry into the contest. The contest is over on May the 1st and we are giving away 100 guns. You got 100 chances to win. The contest is going really great. Thank you everyone for donating and just helping us keep going. I just really appreciate it. And of course, all of the guns were donated for this contest, which is unbelievable how much support we have in the retail and wholesale community and other businesses. I just super grateful for that too. Anyway, Calgary Shooting Center, Ward's and Bud Haynes Auction, Sterling Arms, Chippewa Trading Post, Canuck Guns, Odell Engineering, Select Shooting Supplies, General Gun, SFRC, Reliable Gun Vancouver, Jost Arms, Simply Berkey, from Medicine Hat Alberta, Gagnon Sports, Stan's Plumbing Service, thank you Stan, Profit River Firearms, great people, CATF, Canadian Access to Firearms, of course, we know who they are, Spectre Ballistics International, Magnus & Sons, YR Firearms, and of course, General Counsel to the CCFR, greatest law firm in the history of law-based societies, law-based civilizations, Loberg Echter from Calgary. Thank you to Mike Loberg and the crew down there at Loberg Echter, all donating firearms to this contest so that we can keep going. Really appreciate it. All right. I think that's my list. All right. Thanks, everyone, for watching. We will see you in the next one. Take care. We'll see you then.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.